Blog Talk Radio.
Where am I now? Good God, I feel right. Right now I feel okay. I feel
to the Word at Noon. I am Lewis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God, to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. We truly happy to have each and every one of you all things came to mind, but we'll get into that a little later. Wanted to ask, well, I'll just go head on and ask Sister William. She'll give us a word of prayer, and we'll go from there. Hallelujah.
Father God, I'd like to thank you for opening my eyes this morning and giving me a blessed day. Father God, I'd like to thank you and pray that you are blessed and continue to watch over everyone that's on this line, on the internet, or just listening in. I thank you for all that you are doing for me and will do, continue to do for me, Father God. Father God, I thank you for the family that I have, the new family that I have found, and I would like to also thank you for just leading me towards you, loving me when I didn't love myself. Yes, Lord, I thank you for it all. Amen, in Jesus Christ's name.
Amen, amen, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We thank you for that prayer, Sister William. Listen, brother and sister, I'm excited about what God's doing, and we're talking about worship. We're talking about worshiping God's way. And on yesterday, we talked about God is looking for true worshipers. Now, you would think, why would God have to look for worshipers? Well, he got worshipers all over. He just don't have true worshipers. So I ask you all to read John 4, and I think we're going to start on John 4, 22-26. And I ask you all to read that along with Corinthians. I don't know if everybody did their homework or not, but time is to find out, huh? So we're going to ask Sister William, if she'd be so kind to read that out the King James Version. That's our foundational scripture. Then we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 14, 26-30, where we left off at. But first, let's read our foundational scriptures, which is found in the Gospel of St. John, 4th chapter, and the 22nd through the 24th verse.
Yes, Pastor. Ye worship, ye know not what we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in a spirit and in truth. Amen.
Amen.
Good afternoon, everyone. Amen. Reading from the Message Bible. But the time is coming. It has in fact come. When what you're called will not matter, and where you go to worship will not matter. It's who you are and the way you live that count before God. Your worship must engage your spirit in the pursuit of truth. That's the kind of people the Father is out looking for. Those who are simply and honestly themselves before Him in their worship. God is sure being itself, spirit. Those who worship him must do it out of their very being, true selves in adoration.
Amen.
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 That's what he's looking for. He's looking for true worshipers. Now, we're going to get into 1 Corinthians 14 in a moment. 1 Corinthians 14, 26 through 30. We'll get into that in a moment. But I want to make clear of something because we're at a time, brothers and sisters, that we need to know where God's looking and who he's looking. Now, I know a lot of people think he would come to the church. But see, you got to know what the church is. The church isn't where you meet. The church isn't a building. The church is what you do. The church is who you are. The church is the human outworking of the person of Jesus Christ. So let us not go to church. How about let us be the church? Huh? The church isn't a building. Listen, brother and sister, the church isn't what you do. The church is who you are. The church is the human outworking of the person of Jesus Christ. So in 1 Corinthians 3 and 16, you'll find that, and 1 Corinthians 6 and 1. So it's time that the body of Christ position herself into Christ and let the scripture become a reality. Therefore, if any man be in Christ or in the church, see, that's another way of looking at that. That's revelation for somebody. Therefore, if any man be in the church. Well, why would you say that, preacher? Because Christ is the head of the church.
Yeah.
I got paper now. I got plenty of paper to show you. Christ is the head of the church. So therefore, if any man be in the church, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So everybody ain't in Christ. So God is looking for true worshipers because that's what Christ was. Christ was a true worshiper. Now, with that being said, I got that out the way. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians 14, verses 26 and verses 30.
1 Corinthians 14, 26. How is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you has a psalm, has a doctrine, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. 30. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Amen. Reading from the Message Bible. So here's what I want you to do. When you gather for worship, each one of you be prepared for something that will be useful for all. Sing a hymn, teach a lesson, tell a story, lead a prayer, provide an insight. If prayers are all tongues, two or three, the limit, and then only if someone is present who can interpret what you're saying. Otherwise, keep it between God and yourself, and no more than two or three speakers at a meeting, with the rest of you listening and taking it to heart. Take your turn. No one person talking over special from God, and you all learn from each other. If you choose to speak, you're also responsible for how and when you speak. When we worship the right way, God doesn't stir us up into confusion. He brings us into harmony. This goes for all the churches, no exception. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And
well, we'll
let me say,
oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry if you intended for me to read 26 through 30. I just read 26 through 30.
Yeah.
Sorry for that.
You can read. Thank you.
Oh, I can reread it? Okay. 1 Corinthians 14:26. How is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at most, the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the others judge. Anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. Amen.
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 There's a lot still going on, but while you're there, read verse 36. Because, see, I want y'all to know that people have to understand this is God in the midst of this. So Paul is getting these folks straightened out here. Because, all right, y'all going to come together, and here's some things y'all going to be doing, but it has to be done decent and in order. And it has to be understood that. And it has to be understood through the word of God. So in verse 36, how that reads?
36. What? Come the word of God out from you, or come it into you only?
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, verse 36 on the Message Bible. Imagine that you're a sacred oracle determining what's right and wrong. Do you think everything revolves around you?
Amen. 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 Amen.
So what came the word of God out from you? That's a good question. Good question.
Mm-hmm.
Or came it unto you only? See, a lot of people think that they got the word of God, nobody else has it. They think they got truth, nobody else got truth. But when we go back to 26, he says, how is it then, brother, when you come together? What, you the only one got a word? No. Every one of you have a psalm, have a doctrine, have a tongue, have a revelation, have an interpretation. So let all things be done unto edifying. That's the key right there. Whatever you're doing, do it to edify.
Mm-hmm.
Edify.
Yeah.
I want to ask anybody like to tackle that. What when you talk about edify, what you talking about? Anybody?
Uplifting, teaching in the spiritual realm.
Awesome. Awesome.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So if you're thinking, it should be to edify.
Mm-hmm.
If you preaching, it should be to edify. If you're speaking in another language, I know some of you probably on here can speak 3, 4, 5 languages. So if you're going to be on this broadcast and you're going to speak another language, let us know so that we can get someone to interpret that so it can edify us, not you. If you need to edify, mm-hmm. go somewhere by yourself and edify yourself in God. I mean, that's cool. But in the when we come together, that's what he's talking about, when we're coming together, where two or more gathered together in his name, then it needs to be, because this is activity, because that's what he's saying. He's saying, you coming together, every one of you have a song, it's okay, but let it be to edify.
Yeah, yeah.
Let you know, that's why you here for edifying, instructing somebody. Especially when it comes to the word of God. especially when it comes to religious knowledge. We ought to be trying to build someone up, trying to get somebody established properly in the Word of God. And you do it through edification. You do it through edifying, as is into educating somebody spiritually.
We gotta
educate people when it comes to tongues. They're talking about unknown tongues. Well, let me break this down one more time, because somebody still didn't get it yesterday. See, if tongues is a language, okay, unknown not to the person who's speaking, but to the hearers, that's why you need an interpreter. Not because you can speak in an unknown tongue. It's not unknown to you. It's unknown to us because we don't understand your language.
Amen.
But it's your purpose. It's why you're doing what you're doing. Are you doing it to educate? Are you doing it to exalt someone, to renew someone, to inspire someone? Why are you doing it? Why are you speaking in tongues? Is it to enlighten us or enlighten yourself? Is it to make you seem like you all of this? But what are you doing? We're supposed to be providing someone, like Sister Williams said, with some kind of a religion, some kind of edifying, showing somebody some spiritual understanding, moral and spiritual, not just spiritual, but mainly spiritual. Because you'll never get the right moral understanding about nothing. But if we're going to edify one another, let it be spiritual. That's why we sing hymns to ourselves. So we want to deal with that. In Ephesians 5, where it says singing hymns to yourself. Where is that at? Ephesians 5. I should have looked that up. That's in my spirit. But I know it's in Ephesians. I know it's Ephesians 5. I think, can you find that for me? I just know it's in Ephesians 5. It ain't coming to my mind right now. That's because I'm getting better. I'm getting younger. Let's see. I think it was your offer. Walk in love as he have loved us. What is that?
Ephesians 5:1-2. And walk in love as Christ has also loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savior.
Okay. Amen.
Amen.
And also verse 19, Pastor.
Okay, you want to read verse 19? Yeah, that's the one I was looking for. It's awesome. Can you read verse 19?
19, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Amen.
Amen, amen.
Amen.
And reading from the Message Bible. From the 18th. I'm going to back it up to the 18th. It says, don't drink too much wine. That cheapens your life. Drink the Spirit of God. Huge draughts of him. Sing hymns instead of drinking songs. Sing songs from your heart to Christ. Sing praises over everything, saying, I'm sorry, in the name of our Master Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen, amen. See, everybody can come with a song. Everybody can come with a phrase. So he says, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you have a song. That's like a song, man. It's okay. Because that's what Ephesians 5 is saying. Sing, edify. Now, I'll tell you something right here that a lot of people probably will question. He says, speak to yourself. Sing to yourself. Sing him to yourself. Now, you got some educated people out here who tell you if you did that, you're crazy. But they're crazy. Who better understand you than you?
Amen. Amen.
So he said, it's so cool to pray. To sing to yourself. I think that's what he said. It's okay to speak songs to yourself. It's okay to hear the word of God over and over, because that's how faith comes. It's okay.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. You're not a barbarian. You're not crazy. You're not stupid. No, you're obeying the word if you want to know the truth. You're doing as the elect of God would do, those that are imitate. Remember he says, be imitators? Or did y'all read that? Did y'all catch that over there in Ephesians 5 and 1? Did you catch that, huh? He says, mimic. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Act like your daddy. Most children should have some kind of resemblance of their parents. They should do something like their parents. That should be, if you got a child, some of your characteristics is going to be in that child. You may not look like that child. I'll give you that. That child may be taller, may be shorter, may be bigger. But let me tell you, there should be some characteristics or some traits that you have should be in that child. So he said, be ye therefore followers. That's an imitator. We're to imitate. I look at a lot of times people imitating Steph Curry. They're bouncing the ball. They want to shoot it at half court. They're imitating. I remember back in the day when everybody had on one glove. It's for your time, Sister Williams. But people had on one glove, and they was acting like Michael Jackson. You know, Michael Jackson wore one silver glove. When you look around, everybody had, they was imitating. They was mimicking.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
Yeah. And it's okay. It's okay to imitate God. It's okay to mimic God. He says, and then walk in that thing. Walk in that love as Christ also have loved us. So when you talk about, when you're talking about worshiping, it's so many different ways of worshiping. It's having a meeting with God, doing the things God would do. But if you're going to come together as a group, corporately, you know, as a corporate, then there are things you're going to do, especially in the New Testament. When you think about the New Testament, they're going to be tongues. And interpretation of tongues. They're going to be prophecy. We won't get into all of them today. But it's good, man, when people prophesy. Not prophesy, prophesy. Speak blessings to somebody. Speak blessings in their life.
Amen, amen.
That foolish already.
Say that.
That foolish talk. No, we speak blessing in people's lives. That's what prophecy is about. It's about declaring the word of God. Look it up.
Yeah.
So we're to exalt one another. See, that's exaltation is accepted. Over there in the book of Hebrews, the 10th chapter and the 25th verse, I think it's the Hebrews 10. Help me, Holy Ghost. Hebrews 10 verse 25. Read that to our hearing.
One moment, Pastor. Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exalting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Amen.
Amen, amen. From the Message Bible, we can be encouraging, love, and helping out, not avoiding worshiping together as some do, but spurring each other on, especially as we see the big day approaching. Amen, amen.
Okay, I know a lot of people have trouble with that scripture, but let me give you some background, okay? Just a tad bit so you can understand. These people had learned the importance of Jesus' blood, to be honest with you. They learned that they didn't need the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of heifer. They learned that Jesus' blood was good enough. So those that who had gained that knowledge, they stopped going to the temple. Matter of fact, some of them even stopped assembling, period. So when he make mention of the assembling, he's talking about we need to assemble to build up one another, to edify one another. So the scripture says, where there's two or more gathered together in my name, I'm in the midst.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Have that clear understanding. It's about, remember, it's about edifying somebody else, not you. Just like tongues. Tongues is not for you because it's a language. If you're going to speak it among those that are gathered together, tongues is just a language, man. It's that simple. It's another language. So if it's unknown, it's not unknown to the person who speaks because they should know what they're talking about. It's unknown. It's only unknown to those that don't know. Had a couple of people drop off. I guess so that ruffled their feathers. And it's okay because I refuse to stand on a lie. I want you all to know the truth. If Pat came to me speaking and said, I don't know, whatever she speaks. Say she speak Mexican, or it doesn't matter. Just for instance, she speaks Spanish, for instance. We'll make it real simple. She speaks Spanish, but she want to speak to us on the broadcast in Spanish. I would say, okay, that's your tongue, but we need an interpreter here. So is there any interpreter here? And in the interpreters, we may have two, three of them, but we don't want but one to interpret and the other agree or disagree that what was interpreted is true. Well, it's unknown to us, but it's not unknown to the person that's speaking.
Amen.
So when the Bible talks about speaking in an unknown tongue, it's simply saying that we don't know what you're saying. So help us out by letting there be an interpreter. So we'll make sure there's an interpreter there that can interpret Spanish, and then we'll have two more to say, okay, is that what was said? But you're not going to get up here and speak in tongues, and then that don't be an interpreter. You ain't going to interpret it yourself. That ain't going to happen. Not here, not now, and not ever. That ain't going to happen. I got a word from the Lord. Everybody got a word from the Lord. Everybody got a song. Everybody got this stuff. Everybody. If you're going to speak, let's edify one another. Let me build up Minister Robinson. Let me build up Sister Williams. Let me build these folks up. Let me edify them. Let me make sure they know that this ain't about me. This is about one another, man. We're educating each other in the spirit. We're inspiring them. We want to improve them in that area of understanding revelation knowledge. That something been hidden, now it's made known. We want you to understand we're living in the time of revelation. We're living in the end of the church age. Woo! Say it, preacher. Mm-hmm. We're living at the end of the church age. Now, I can go back and give y'all a lot of scripture. We don't have time to do it today. And we may get into that next week. But you need to know we're living at the end of the church age, man.
All right.
I know some people call it the rapture and all that good stuff, but let me tell you what. We're living at the end of the church age. The church. Now, some people say, oh, the church age ain't going to never end. No, I'm talking about play church. We're ending that time, that dispensation. God looking for true worshipers.
Yeah.
See, this going to make the end. He's not just looking for worshipers. He's looking for true worshipers. Those are worshiping in spirit and in truth. Okay. All right. Anybody have any comments? Anything you want to share? Hallelujah.
Yeah, Pastor. Back to what you were saying about, having someone to understand different language. When I was working in the hospital, we started getting people to come in with different language, you know. There was some Chinese, some, I forget this other nationality of people that were coming in. And we had to hire someone who knew that language so that we could understand what that person was saying. And then there was times when the children who could speak both languages would interpret what their parents was relating to us so that it wouldn't be no confusion, so that when we were ordering the test or the procedure that person was having, it would be the correct one. And so, yes, what you're saying is so very true. We should be able to understand, and that the only way that's going to happen is that we have an interpreter, someone to interpret what that person is saying. Because if not, it'll be a ball of confusion. And as we know, our Lord is not the author of confusion.
Amen.
I
appreciate that, Pastor. That's real good. And when you said that, I thought about a couple other things, too. But you're absolutely right. Anymore, even in, you go in some of these restaurants in different places of the city, where they're predominant, whatever it is, Mexican or Arabs, there's different places over the city. Here around Atlanta, there are people that only speak English. Yeah, I mean, you would think everybody in this country, but no, they sit around there, they don't even speak English. I was there the other day. I was in the Home Depot. I was shocked. They had Spanish speaking people that worked there, but they couldn't speak English. Now, I know that sound a little hard, but you know, they need to learn English first. A lot of people overseas get prepared to come here, and they know part of their process is learning English. But now they're letting them just flip through the track. So when you go into the store, you want to know, well, where is this, where is that? And I'm like, you know, speak them English. You know, speak them. Well, get out of here.
More and more.
You have to see. There you go. We're to edify. So build up.
Amen.
And not be hard or cruel or whatever. But, you know, you go somewhere and you want to give somebody your order, you hope to God they can speak English. Broken English, some kind of English. a little bit of something, something.
That's true. That's true.
Amen.
That's right. You don't want to get the wrong thing.
Yeah, because you, like you said, they're in the hospital. Right there, they're gonna remove your kidneys or your
yeah,
they need to know what they finna take up out of you, so they take the wrong thing.
Exactly.
Amen. Right. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how they
true.
Gonna know what's hurting you if you don't explain to them? So somebody need to be there to say, or her stomach hurting, or her neck hurting, or, you know, I mean, that's understanding. That, is, to me, is so simple.
Right.
When people make a big
it
deal
is.
Out of speaking in tongues, you're just speaking another language. So, but if you're going to speak in another language, don't try to edify yourself and make folks think you all into God and everything, and you got a mighty word, because that scripture said we all got a song. We all had a prophecy. We all had this stuff. But if you're going to speak in tongues now, you need an interpreter. Not you, but that's what you need to complete this exercise.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, thank you so much. Anybody else? How about you, Sister William? Sister William, you said from California. I know you you probably ran into a whole lot of different speaking people.
Well, yes, I did. And one thing I learned about people speaking another language in California, it eliminated a lot of jobs for the English-speaking nurses. If they didn't speak Spanish, they couldn't work at that particular place. And most places had Spanish people and, you know, we spoke English, and I'm too old for my tongue to twist up like that now, so that knocked me out of the job. I understand having an interpreter. Yeah.
You too old.
Yeah. I didn't learn it when I was young. I can't learn it now.
Yeah.
Not, you know, that.
Well, anybody else?
That's the time we're living in now, I tell you.
Amen.
We have all nationalities, and they migrating everywhere. They everywhere.
Amen.
Where I live at is people here that Haitians and Chinese and Japanese and Arab, and if they get on the elevator speaking, I wouldn't know nothing they saying, but I keep my eye on them though. Making sure they ain't saying nothing to me, you know, because a lot of times people's body language lets you know too.
Amen.
Like I noticed that a lot of the men, they stay among themselves, and when they talking, I try not to get on the elevator with them, with the men, because you know they look at women as second class or whatever, you know.
Yes.
And so I respect that, and I just let them go on the elevator. I wait on the next one to go down. Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Well, y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see y'all for the review on Sunday.